Thank you, Jim. We moved from Delaware to Pennsylvania. That's what happened.
It's all the same.
It's all the same. Except that Delaware is really in the south, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon line, and we live north of the Mason-Dixon line. What I'd like to talk about here in this particular session is a little bit of a report. It's a retrospect of 2012 with a sort of an unavoidable spillover into this year, of course. And I'd like to do it on the basis of two verses of Scripture which have meant a great deal to us over the years, ever since we've known each other and maybe even before that time. Kathy's verse, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants. And the one that I would like to emphasize is 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. Same type of emphasis, isn't it? And certainly anything that has been achieved, anything that we get involved in, is because of him. And I'd like to do this in four little segments. The first one having to do with FOM Consulting Ministries, which is the organization that we have been involved in for a number of years, ever since we left the ministry of BMW and then moved into the FOM, the Fellowship of Missions, which has served as president for 10 more years. And then they brought this thing into existence to give us another vehicle. And the FOM Consulting Ministries has had a near-death experience. You know what those things are, don't you? They're mostly hallucinations, I would think. But somehow or other, there's always a resurrection when there is a near-death experience. They think it's real, and then they come alive again and return to earth. I think FOM Consulting Ministries really died, and there's no resurrection coming. There are some items that came through from time to time where people ask, can you give me some specifics on mission agencies? That happens many times, I must say. I can usually do that. Or they want to know something about specific countries, I can do that too. There are questions, can you give me some advice on next steps? I had that just the other day, sitting at Trudy's kitchen table or the dining room table. And I got a phone call from a country I've never had a call from before, Papua New Guinea. And some guy there asked me about what kind of mission he might be able to join. We talked for quite a little while. Then there's some other people who will send an email and say, I'm writing a book, can you give me some input in this or that or the other thing? Emails, phone calls, but that's about it. So FOM Consulting Ministries is probably going to continue to be on the paper and on the website for a little bit, but we will bury it as far as the actual consulting aspect is concerned. What's more important at this point, and what has been in 2012, is a focused personal ministry outside of Calvary Fellowship Homes. We live in Calvary Fellowship Homes, and I want to to tell you, that's a wonderful place to live. We love it. We've been there for quite a little while now. It'll be 12 years. We've been out of Delaware for 12 years already, Jim. Man, what's happened to you anyway? Here we have been in... Yeah, that's true. Calvary Fellowship Homes is an organization that was brought into existence to serve the needs of retired missionaries initially. Now we have a lot of people there who were not missionaries, and we have quite a few people who have not retired. And we have a number of pastors there who are no longer involved in their local churches. And sometimes we have a few who still are in the church preaching. But they have reached retirement age. And then there are some other people, too, who've never been in that kind of ministry. There are about 375 or so of us. And we live in cottages or in apartments, or sometimes they're in assisted living or in health care, and just waiting for the end to come to go to heaven. It's a wonderful Christian environment, and we are delighted to be there. And we live in a cottage, and it's a little house with a yard all around it, and beautiful old trees around it, big old oaks, not like these scrawny things that you see in some places. We have these big ones, and it's a great place to be. And within that community, we have a splendid opportunity of ministry. And we can go anywhere from there, we have discovered, even to San Antonio. One of the things that we do every month is to go to a nursing home called Evergreen in the city of Lancaster. And Kathy goes there and greets all the people, and they're always asking where she is if she doesn't happen to be there for whatever reason that might be the case. And I go there to provide some music, and my colleague with whom I have worked for many years, Ray Acker, and I'll tell you a little bit more about him, he does the preaching. And we serve in that capacity. It's just a little bit. I do quite a bit of substitute preaching, a lot of teaching. I go to one particular church in our area, about 25 miles away from where we live, and do the adult Sunday school for a number of months in succession, depending on what my schedule makes available for them. And I did one for 4 weeks in succession just recently on music, and I'm about to do one on prophecy in the European Union for 6 weeks just a month or so. And then the Lord has given us opportunity to continue to be involved in the Arabic Bible Outreach Ministry in New England. And I have to go there every quarter for a board meeting. Sometimes I do it by Skype when I don't have time to get up there, because it takes me all day to get there, and then to have then all day to do the meeting and all day to get back, and I can't always handle that. And then there is Grace Missions Mozambique, and that's why we're here, of course, and it's always been a delight to be involved in that. But this year happens to be my final time. This is it. And as of this, later this week, Lord willing, I will be retired from Grace Missions Mozambique. And they're going to appoint my successor. That is, if all goes well. This is what is on the program. And, you know, I have been interim director of Grace Missions Mozambique since 2004. Now, when I was appointed to this particular responsibility as an interim, I thought, well, maybe that will last 6 months, or maybe it'll go for a year, and next year I'll be free from this responsibility. But it didn't happen. And I thought that I was too old. I had been working for a number of years already in Grace Missions when I was just a member of the board to try and come up with a cutoff point. And I said, you know, one of the problems with boards of directors I have discovered over many years in mission agencies is that they keep on going all the time. And eventually, it's just a bunch of old geezers who sit together in a meeting, a board meeting, and they take a nap together. And there is very little opportunity to get anything accomplished. That's true, you know. And I said, we don't want to see this happen at Grace Missions. And they said, that's true, we don't, you know. But they're all young fellows, and I was the only real gray head in this bunch. And they said, well, we'll make an exception for you because you might still be able to do something. You have a little tread left, even though you're old. And so here I am. I'm 85, you know. And this doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be around at this particular stage in life. In that capacity. So finally, they found someone. And if he is going to be an interim, which I don't know, he probably has about 35 years to go. Anyway, we shall see. And you will hear about that later after this has taken place. Then we have the opportunity to be with our own mission agency, of course, Biblical Ministries Worldwide. And I really don't have a great deal of responsibility there. A fellow called me up this week and he said, say, I'm coming to function at BMW. Can I bring my books that I just finished and can I give them away to the people who are going to be there? I said, man, I don't have any clout in this organization. I'm nobody. You have to talk to the general director and ask him. So that is probably what he will do. But we're going to be there too next week on our way home. And instead of flying back directly to Pennsylvania from here as we usually do, we are going to have a stopover in Atlanta. And we will be with BMW because they are going to be celebrating their 25th anniversary this year. And they have a celebration next week. And we sort of look forward to being present there because there'll be a lot of old friends, old board members with whom we've been privileged to work over the years, and some other ancient missionaries who are there and live in the area, perhaps, or are traveling to this place, and we'll have a little bit of a reunion. Also, one of our sons is going to be there because he's an executive in the organization, and he will be coming down from Canada and bring his wife along. We'll see him for a day. That'll be pleasant. One of the things they're going to do is to launch a couple of history books. One of them relates to the history of an organization called United Missionary Fellowship. The other one relates to an organization whose name you know better, if you can still remember that. It's called WEF Ministries. And that book I wrote. And I finished that this past year. And this was, I can't say that I enjoyed writing it. Except for the fact that it was fun to remember certain things and to look at pictures again of people I've known long before. But I was greatly relieved when that thing was finally finished, and I was able to send it in. And it was also sort of fun just this past week to go to Amazon.com and put my name in there, and that book came out, and I saw the picture of it. It's a real cheapo, incidentally. It only costs $5, I noticed. I did not have anything to do with anything beyond writing it. I didn't even choose the corny title they came up with. That is something that I could not control. But it's finished, and I am just relieved. And this next week they're going to have these copies there, and they're going to give them away, I guess. So that was one major step. This past year, we also had the opportunity to spend some time in Europe again. There's a lady there with whom we've had quite a bit to do for many, many years in Holland. I have known that woman for 70 years. And she's been of great benefit to us over the years. And a few years ago, she had a knee replacement. Some of you might remember that story. I may have told you about that. It was the third time in the same knee that she had a replacement. And there wasn't anybody who could take care of us, of her. Kathy and I both thought that it would be a good idea to go and make ourselves available. So we did that. We went over there and helped her. And we thought, well, the next time we'll see her is when she's in a casket. This will be the last time. And then we thought this past year certainly would be much better if we could see her when she's still living. Why wait till she dies? We go over there for the funeral. So we arranged to go. And it so happened that our son Tim, who works in Luxembourg with his wife and has been there for 35 years or so, that's better than that, I guess, at this point, isn't it? Yeah, I think so. Tim turned 60. Can you imagine having a son who is 60? We do. The church there in Luxembourg thought they were going to do something very special for their pastor and his wife. And so they put on a secret birthday party for them. Now, there was nothing secret about the birthday. The kids knew that. That was going to happen. Both of them were going to have a birthday, 60. But they didn't know it was going to be a party at a church. And certainly they didn't know that we were going to be there. And after the morning service on Sunday, they went to a park. It was in July, to have this party. But that was a normal thing. They did that every quarter in that park or someplace to have a picnic or something. And they didn't find out until they got there after the service that it was a party. It was a happy birthday, Pastor Tim. And then they discovered that we were there. We'd been in Luxembourg for a few days, but they had hidden us. And that was their birthday gift. So we had a great time there, both in Holland and Luxembourg, during this period, with various opportunities of ministry. A great opportunity. We're grateful for that. And then we continue also our ministry in Delaware, because we go there regularly. We throughout the year, it was every week. It has now been reduced to every other week, but we continue to have a ministry in Delaware every Monday. So there's a focused personal ministry outside of Calvary Fellowship Homes. But there's also a focused personal ministry within Calvary Fellowship Homes. We have a chaplain there at Calvary. And he was telling us the other day that he doesn't think of this place being a place for retirement. He said it is really a place for refirement. That was sort of an interesting thought. And he said, you old people, you ought to be refired. Oh, that's a good idea. Some of them just sit there. But we have opportunity to do a great deal of ministry there. I can preach there regularly. And I do that. There are daily meetings for the people. Every morning there is a service. And I preach there at least once a month, sometimes more. There are weekly Sunday Vespers, a wonderful service, and we have some, maybe 90, 100 people out for the Vespers services. And I often preach there, and I'm usually involved in various kinds of music ministry, both in the daily as well as in the weekly Vespers. Then we have Sunday morning services there. I had two in December. I hope to have two in February. There are men's meetings every Thursday morning. And I'm involved with them every week in one way or another. Kathy is involved in handing out water to the patients. And that is a very meaningful experience, apparently. I've never been a patient. I've never been in a hospital. But these people need that kind of attention. And she does this, along with numerous other things. The music ministry has been important to us, along with very many special occasions. Many times is the care of colleagues. This has been an interesting experience for us. I have always taken care of the needs of missionaries for many, many years, but I never did expect to have to take care of the needs of missionaries when they were dying or even after they were gone. But certainly this has happened over these years. And the one that comes to mind and continues to come to mind, of course, is one of our own co-workers on the field when we were serving in Holland. Her name is Helen. Helen died about 2 or 3 years ago right at Calvary Homes. She had nobody left. Her parents were gone. In fact, quite a number of years ago, I was privileged to bury her father and her mother, both. I don't know how I got so involved in these families over the years. There were no siblings. There's nobody else who could care for her. And so we handled all of her business for her. Now, you don't think of a missionary as having anything, but this particular missionary was a wealthy lady. She just came upon this fortune, apparently, through some money that had been left her by a very wealthy bachelor uncle. And she became rich. And she just gave it away. But she was in need out there at Calvary Homes because the cost of staying in a situation like that when you're sick, and she had Alzheimer's disease eventually and died of that, is very high. And she needed money. And she was just giving it away until that time, until I stopped it when she gave me the power of attorney. We've got to keep this because we will need it for you. And we used up a great deal, helped her with her will. I did all of this, had power of attorney for everything that was related to her. And I think I told you on one occasion that when we had to make a decision as to whether to just take her hands off and let her die normally, or to try to keep that body functioning, I received a phone call when I was from a doctor in the hospital about this situation. When I was standing preaching in a church in New York, and I think I may have mentioned that to you, I to refresh your memory, I got this phone call, and I looked at it on my cell phone while I was standing in that pulpit. And I knew it. I saw that was this doctor in the hospital. And I said to these people, I'm sorry, I've got to take this phone call. So I stepped back and took this phone call. And these people heard me speak, but they didn't hear the doctor. And they wondered, what in the world is this? You know, I had never been in a church before. And somebody decided they ought to pray for us. And so they had a prayer meeting while I was talking to this doctor. And then when I was finally done and I told him, I said, let her go. Let her die. I explained it. And it was a fascinating thing. Well, it took 2 years to finalize this estate, handling this estate for Helen. And that was done in 2012. And then we had Jack and Marie Matlack. Jack was our European director, and he and his wife were there also. Jack died of a strange Alzheimer-related brain disease, we had to handle his funeral a couple of years ago. Marie died this year. She was one of those people who never wanted anybody's help. But one day she called and she said, can you take me to the doctor? And so we did. And she didn't live much longer. She was gone in just a week or two, wasn't she, honey? Yeah. And of course, we had to bury both of those people. They had three kids, had four children, but three of them were in missionary service overseas. They get them home, and then the other one was living in North Carolina, and I called her up. I said, Anita, you've got to get home. Your mom is sick. She said, I can't do it. I'm busy. I said, Anita, you've got to get home. Your mother needs you. I can't make it. I said, you must come home. And I've known these kids ever since they were born. They're little kids. They call me uncle. You know? I can't come home. You have to come home. So she came. And Jack and Marie are gone. There's Ray Acker. I mentioned his name earlier because he does the preaching there at Evergreen Nursing Home. And Ray Acker is a career military man. He is a chaplain in the Army. And he retired, of course, and moved over here. His wife has Alzheimer's disease. He is blind, not quite, but almost. And he walks around with one of those white canes, and he moves it back and forth and sideways, and then feels his way across the curbs and so on. And I take him to the hospital frequently, to the VA, which is about an hour away from where we live. Ray Acker is a good friend of mine. He served on our staff. I asked him when he was still in the military, I said, when you retire, come and see me, because I'd like to give you an appointment. And so when he retired, he came, and he served with me for quite a number of years as an assistant. And he's a wonderful fellow. We have great fellowship as we travel together. But, you know, his wife is not able to care for his needs any longer. So I have power of attorney for Ray Acker. And he is always sick. He always has problems, all kinds of operations. He had a shoulder replacement this past year. He had a knuckle replacement. You ever hear of that? They replaced this knuckle here in his hand because he couldn't use his hand at all. He had an operation on his elbow, and he's had many other significant surgeries on his organs and many different problems. And the doctors deal with me when they have to make a decision. So we work for our colleagues, focus personal ministry within Calvary Fellowship Homes. It's a privilege to do it. And then there's that fourth one that I should mention. Calvary Fellowship Homes is also enjoying an anniversary this year, just like BMW, but it's twice as long, the 50th this year of Calvary Homes. And they're going to celebrate for the entire year, they said. And they came up with a steering committee to deal with the celebration of this thing. And within that steering committee, they appointed a few men to serve as facilitators for task groups to deal with specifics of it. The main one is the one that deals with the programs of these events that will take place. And for some reason or other, they saw fit to appoint me to run that thing. So I have the program committee for all these events. I decided to start with it to ring in the anniversary year on New Year's Eve this past month. And we had some people said, nobody will come. But we had a fabulous time and filled up the auditorium there with a couple hundred people and standing room beyond that. From 6:30 in the evening until after midnight. And there was a great a couple of programs. We had two services, actually, one from 7 to 9 and then one from 10 to 12, you know, give or take a bit, actually take a bit only. Then we will ring out the year on 31 December 2013. We'll ring it out with a W, R-I-N-G. That's at least the way I was thinking of it, but maybe they don't want to do that. And we have something every month, sometimes 2 or 3 days, sometimes just 1 day, sometimes it's a golf tournament, sometimes it's the auction, sometimes it's a concert. We arranged to have the principal clarinetist of the Philadelphia Chamber Orchestra to come and play for us. Wonderful events that we can do. But I tell you, it's taken me a tremendous amount of time to prepare for all of this. And it is not just something for Calvary Fellowship Homes, it's for the community. And it has an evangelistic flavor. Because we would like to reach into the community of Lancaster City. For one thing, we're going to have camp meetings, three of them, in June. And we have arranged for one of these events to use a large pavilion that is available there with sawdust on the ground, a real old-fashioned type of thing. And we hope to have the community involved in that. And the staff of Calvary Fellowship Homes, because even though we have all these Christian people who live there as residents, the staff many times are needy people. We have 152 people who work at Calvary Homes. Many of them are unsaved. And they live in, or they work in, a totally Christian environment. They're surrounded by Christian patients and residents and so on. We want to give them the opportunity to hear also. So someone, one of the people in my little task group, suggested that we come up with an adopt-a-staff program for this entire year. And all of us residents are able to adopt a staff member. And we seek to work with those people and reach them for Christ. Well, that's a bit of retrospect plus a little unavoidable spillover, as I've said, into 2013. And it has something to do with refirement. And we're mindful day by day, as I read earlier, and with this I will close also, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants. Faithful is he who calls you, who also will do it. And let me suggest to you that if you'd like to have a good place to live when you retire, Calvary Fellowship Homes in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That's it. We appreciate your prayer for us as we serve in these capacities and hope to continue on as long as we can and end well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for calling us into your service. We're grateful. Thank you that we can bear each other's burdens. And we pray that you will enable us to be faithful men and women as we walk with you and serve you. We pray in the name of our Savior. Amen.